adapted from Silence, the Power of Quiet in a World Full of Noise by Thich Nhat Hanh. We spend a lot of time looking for happiness when the world right around us is full of wonder. To be alive and walk on the earth is a miracle. And yet most of us are running as if there were some better place to get to. There is beauty calling to us every day, every hour. But we are rarely in a position to listen. The basic condition for us to be able to hear the call of beauty and respond to it is silence. If we don't have silence in ourselves, if we are full of noise, then we can't hear beauty's call. There's a radio playing in our head, radio station NST, nonstop thinking. Our mind is filled with noise, and that's why we can't hear the call of life, the call of love. Our heart is calling us, but we don't hear. Mindfulness is the practice that quiets the noise inside us. Without mindfulness, we can be pulled away by many things. Sometimes we are pulled away by regret and sorrow concerning the past. We revisit old memories and experiences only to suffer again and again the pain we've already experienced. It's easy to get caught in the prison of the past. We may also get pulled away by the future. A person who is anxious and fearful about the future is trapped just as much as one bound by the past. Anxiety, fear, and uncertainty about future events prevent us from hearing the call of happiness. So the future becomes a kind of prison too. Even if we try to be in the present moment, many of us are distracted and feel empty, as if we had a vacuum inside. We see the situation in the present moment as boring, nothing special, nothing interesting. Or we are filled with anxiety based on our thoughts about the world. Mindfulness is often described as a bell that reminds us to stop and silently listen. We follow our in-breath and our out-breath, making space for silence. In just 2 or 3 seconds of breathing mindfully, we can awaken to the fact that we're alive. We're breathing in. We are here. The noise within just disappears and there is a profound spaciousness. It's very powerful, very eloquent. In order to really be, you have to be free from the thinking, free from the anxieties, free from the fear, free from the longing. I am free is a strong statement because the truth is many of us are not free. We don't have the freedom that allows us to hear and to see and to just be. The practice is easy. If we are talking, we are talking. But if we are doing something else, such as eating, walking, or working, then we do just these things. We aren't doing these things and also talking. So we do these things in joyful, noble silence. In this way, we are free to hear the deepest call of our hearts. Silence like this can be called thundering silence because it's eloquent and powerful. In this silence, I could hear the wind and the birds so much more vividly. Before that, I'd heard the birds and the wind, but not in the same way because I didn't have the deepest kind of silence. When you have that kind of silence, you have enough freedom to enjoy being alive and to appreciate the wonders of life. With that kind of silence, you are more capable of healing yourself mentally, physically. You have the capacity to be here, alive, because you are free from all kinds of mental chatter. Every one of us has an ultimate concern that has nothing to do with this chatter. Why are we here? Who are we, each of us? With mindfulness, you can hear the response yourself when you have some silence within. You can find some answers to these questions and hear the deepest call of your heart. Just listen to what the pines and cedars say on a windless night. I think I've told this story before, but I remember deep in the middle of maybe a week-long sesshin. God knows what I had done, but I was feeling terribly ashamed. It's fairly early in my practice life. And so I was quite overwhelmed. And I went in to see James Ford. And I sat in front of him and I told him, James, I'm just feeling so ashamed. And he looked at me and he said, well, I'm not that interested in that. Wow. Of course, I was very interested in it. And so for me, it felt like a little slap in the face. And I walked out of the Dokusan feeling more ashamed. And I sat with it for the next 2 years. Till it became clear to me that that was a gift. A very beautiful gift. You know, it's interesting. Zen teaching is, and practice, our practice together. It's very different from other modalities that we are used to. And sometimes we put on the lens of other modalities to judge our experience in Zen. Which is what I did for about a year and a half, of course, after that, right? Oh, wow, that was really this, that, and the other thing. He really didn't meet me, did he? Oh. You know, we might also receive some kind of praise when we're expecting something different. I've just done a terrible thing. I've committed a terrible mistake. Good. What? What do you mean? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the answer to these questions. Good. What? Everywhere else I'm supposed to know. What are you talking about? We so much want to be able to capture our practice and everything. Other people's practices, our lives, other people's lives, the life of the world in our narratives. As if our brain could ever do that. I had a class the other day where we were talking about a passage in which a character says that, you know, this character finds words to be essentially incapable of capturing anything in reality and makes that case. So we tested it in my class, a philosophy class. I asked students, could someone please describe for me the taste of a bagel? I mean, start small, right? You don't need to start with the nature of yourself. How about the taste of a bagel? And this courageous, rather poetic student raised her hand and said, well, okay, so, you know, when your tongue touches the bottom, it's kind of like a leathery skin. And the whole class burst into laughter. And someone said, well, that's a different bagel from the ones I eat. It wasn't that it was wrong. This was headed somewhere, wasn't it? But it also was just immediately apparent that words in that moment could not conjure the actual taste. We can't even conjure the taste of a bagel with our words, and yet we think we have captured the story of somebody, some complex relationship that we're in the midst of. Characterizing one person this way, another person another. It's humbling, really. How lovely. How lovely to be humbled in that way. Although I will say, you know, this is part of the stick, isn't it? This is part of James Ford saying to me, I'm not really interested in that. I'm not really interested in the things you're conjuring up in your mental formations right now. What actually is? You know, we can lean a little bit into this practice, this beautiful invitation to appreciate the wonder of life. To sit here and feel that fresh breeze. Hear those crickets quietly outside, descending in their tone as it gets colder. Feeling our bodies upright, breathing. Who is breathing? What actually is? How quickly we want to say, well, I am, you dumbass. Who answered? Notice how dubious every story we tell is in response to that question, huh? Fine approximations at best. And so in this practice, we enter the mystery, the real profound mystery of what actually is. Enter the deep water of no knowing. Sometimes it's just so abundantly clear that nothing actually is. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, color, sound, smell, taste, touch, object of thought. No seeing, no thinking. No ignorance, no ending of ignorance. No old age, no death. We can touch into a great silence, a profound infinite, boundless aliveness that has no edges and no fixed place. Manifesting as me, putting my foot on the floor, one foot in front of another. Manifesting as a whirlwind of crazy thoughts and ideas, like a hurricane. But as we touch into this great silence and receiving, there's a sense of the eye of the storm too. Quite impossible to describe, may sound dualistic. It's okay not to wrap your mind around any of this. It's not the point. It won't help you. The whole thing is in the practice and in the wondering, in the receiving. I'm not sure for me how helpful it is to try to repress thoughts. I think it's usually unhelpful, to be honest with you. For me, the practice isn't necessarily about cultivating silence so much as attention. With a little bit of curiosity, a little bit of doubt, what actually is? Because I see these stories arising one after another endlessly, and I'm quite certain that they're all 100% true, because of course it's me telling them. But what if I'm willing to just detach from those stories a little bit and ask myself, wait, what is? Are these stories what actually is? Just listen to what the pines and cedars say on a windless night.